Remembering how visceral our reaction was to that and how we were in the streets, and how over the course of the almost 4 years since that happened, that even in my daily, very vigorous activism, that there has been a disconnect from the gut visceral emotion that led us to protest and to form all of these activist organizations. To now, I almost separated the two, that there's actual racism and violence happening to the solution that we are working on. The solution, just to repeat, because I don't think I say this enough, the solution being one in which we focus on the root of the issue, which is narratives of division that are put out there in order to maintain the status quo of wealth. Welcome to another episode of Spread Love FM. Today, I want to talk about, yes, once again, continuing from last week, racism at work. And without going into too much detail, because it's a couple of conversations that I overheard, and I do want to respect that, even though I think it is my obligation to share my experiences. It is not my wish to divulge names, places, faces, because one of the questions that we are asking is a systematic racism versus individual acts of racism. And as you will see, I want to focus on the systematic aspect of racism. But before I do that, let me pose a question for the Value Exchange project that we have every Friday, 7 to 9, remotely on Zoom. You can join us. Just go to spreadlovefm.com. And the question is, when is it appropriate to prioritize addressing systematic racism over individual acts of racism? So what happened? So yesterday I had a couple of incidents happen at work. The first incident, I overheard a coworker speaking to another coworker within earshot, so they knew I was there listening. And it went something to the effect of one of the workers who was there, a black worker, it seems, right before I was hired, quit because of something another coworker or customer, I wasn't quite sure, it sounded like a customer, said something to him, referring to him as a monkey or a gorilla. And I was overhearing this. I was kind of piqued my interest when I started hearing a little bit of it. And then the both of the coworkers who were white were speaking, and one of them said, "I don't discriminate by color. We all have red blood," something to that effect. Now that's when I asked what happened, because I wanted to really hear the details. And he kind of didn't want to repeat the story, it seemed, and said, "Never mind." So I spent the next few hours processing that. I mean, coming out of the context of the story that I shared, the stories that I shared last week, the questions that were a respectful discussion between me and a coworker on the issue of many topics that are usually viewed as polarizing between whites and blacks. So that's the context I was coming out of. And so I continue to process this. Then at the end of the day, the store was closed. I work in a retail, corporate, super, a Fortune 500 corporation, which I don't want to name here, but some of you may know. And they closed down. All the customers were out, and I'm new, so I'm trying to get to know the shop, the store, the shop. Yeah, I wish it was a shop. So I'm walking around different parts of the shop, the store, and I walk into a loading dock area where I'm, you know, probably 50 yards away from where they're loading at the entrance of this part of the establishment. And I overhear two coworkers who I assume sounded white, just, but I'm assuming. But they said something to the, that was pretty disturbing. I don't want to repeat it here, but it had to do with racial violence because one group was taken over. And I actually wear this shirt. This is a shirt I've been wearing for a few years. And they expressed a violent, and it was in jest, I imagine, but at the same time, it referred to some of the violent tactics that were used against our people anytime the majority white people felt threatened. And I was taken aback by this, to be quite honest. Usually, I don't get surprised. The first thing didn't really surprise me, even though it was. I guess it did surprise me, to be honest, because these are things that you hear of and you hear of other people tell. But from where I come from, the racism on a bi-weekly, almost daily basis that I'm hearing, even if it's expressed in a seemingly benign way, that's something that I'm used to. So that second thing really took me aback, and I was like, wow, this is racism that's being passed down through generations. And I thought about this, and ironically, that I'm working in a corporate setting, it made me think about the fact that when I started what is now Spread Love FM, and it was originally the Freedom Market, that it was from pain that we first met to have the setting where the Freedom Market could grow. It was from the pain of the George Floyd murder. And remembering how visceral our reaction was to that and how we were in the streets, and how over the course of the almost 4 years since that happened, that even in my daily, you know, very vigorous activism, that there has been a disconnect from the gut visceral emotion that led us to protest and to form all of these activist organizations to now. I almost separated the two, that there's actual racism and violence happening to the solution that we are working on. It's solution, just to repeat, because I don't think I say this enough, the solution being one in which we focus on the root of the issue, which is narratives of division that are put out there in order to maintain the status quo of wealth, and how the folks that buy into these narratives because of the hierarchy, the last place aversion is one way that it was put, where we'll give you a little more as long as you keep others down, but in the meantime, we are robbing all of you, the 1%, and how that plays out into narratives where people say things, where it leads to actual harm and violence, where that connection is lost and there becomes a disconnect between me hearing what I heard at work and the action that I'm doing to mitigate this. And you know, it really is something that I want to put at the forefront again. Last week we had the Value Exchange Project meetup, and we had a discussion about many topics, and it became very deep, deeper than the previous week. To the point where I almost thought it was a distraction in terms of the level of energy, passion that people were expressing their points of views on these topics. And I almost wanted to get away from that. And let's get back to the business of sustainable economics with maybe a little bit of discussion. And then yesterday, it really brought me back to realize why it's important to have these discussions, because this is why we are doing it. This is why Spread Love Free Market, Spread Love FM, the Freedom Market. This is why it exists, because by supporting the very place that I worked at, ironically, that in order for that to exist, that the violence that was expressed and the racism that was expressed in that very building where I was within earshot of hearing these very things, that supports the actual corporation that is paying our salaries, my salary, and how important it is to support local, to shift the flow of wealth into community so that we empower community, so that the people, the very people who are expressing these oppressive, explicitly racist sentiments, that we take away the power of the corporate of Wall Street to maintain these divisions so that we continue to say these things about one another. And yeah, it was it's really good that the day after I was considering moving on to let's just get down to business, that I had this encounter. I really feel that I have been put in the position that I am in order to spread this message of justice, of love. Because the one thing that I've learned in my spiritual reawakening is that all the work that I've been doing for the 4 years, it doesn't happen without selfless love. So that's what happened. I actually want to share the speech, the first speech that I did at McCarran Gathering in Brooklyn, where we sat in a space every single night for a better part of 2.5 years, discussing issues just like this. But the first time I was called to speak, I shared a something that I wrote that led me down this path of economic justice. And I want to share that with you at the end of this, which I'll do in a couple of minutes. But first, I want to also share what it is that we will be doing in the coming weeks. Some really exciting partnerships we have happening. This past Saturday, we went down to an organization. The acronym is SALT, SALT Outreach. And SALT is Service and Love Together. And this was an amazing organization. And we've been in talks for a while about working together. They are aware of our sustainable model. And we went to volunteer with them last week. And what they have are mobile showers where neighbors, houseless neighbors, can get a feeling of dignity by getting a shower to see how, you mean you could automatically, you know how important that is to have a shower every morning, or every other morning, or once a week for some people. But to see these neighbors get that shower, and there was also a clothing trailer, to see them walk up to a trailer and get their clothing. And then there was a booth where they were getting free haircuts. And to see all that in action was really something to marvel. It's not something that I've seen coming from New York, This is amazing. And we were there to help. And what we are going to do is on March 7th, we are going to partner with them at their next day of outreach, Saturday, March 9th in Tampa Bay. And we want to extend for our Value Exchange Fridays to our other neighbors, because we are Salt and Spread Love, are looking to reach out to other neighbors who are able to provide resources to all of us, not just our house's neighbors, but to all of us, me, you. So send us a, send us a message. Subscribe to our email list at spreadlovefm.com. Meet us at the meetup on Friday so that we can discuss ways in which we can exchange value, the Value Exchange Project. So maybe we'll start off with the prompt. See, what is your take on racism? When is it appropriate to prioritize addressing systematic racism over individual acts of racism? And I'll end my answer. In my opinion, for me to have reached out to those individuals who said those things, and even the conversation that I had a week prior with that other neighbor, and I mentioned that I did maybe 3x to one listening to talking. Until that person is ready to receive that message, the words that I could express would more than likely be in vain and exhausting. So I choose to attack the system, to shift the flow of wealth, to make people aware that they are endorsing these systems of oppression with their dollars, to do their level best to support local businesses, to support local entrepreneurs, local systems, to be aware of where their dollar is going. And that was the initial purpose. That is the idea behind Spread Love FM. And so I want to just express that's my point of view, that it's about systematic racism. The individual acts, they will always continue. But the advancements that we have made and that other communities have made came with systematic change. And I also want to end, I'm going to share the speech in a little bit, but I want to also, I'm going to begin our Friday meetups with our pledge. And this pledge has been formed over, the 4 years through experience, through countless conversations of how we get to our goal of sustainable, just economics. And here it is, our pledge. To redefine how we perceive, exchange, and distribute value. To compel our neighbors to take the practical steps that we provide that lead to radical social, environmental, and economic change. To double down on our commonalities, set aside our differences, and follow our moral compass. And yes, that's something that I know by heart because it is in my heart. So, with that being said, I'm going to now share that speech that I did at McCarran Gathering so long ago. So here it is. And to give a little bit of context, I was working, I had my delivery company, Free Your Arms. And this is before we started Freedom Market, which is now Spread Love FM. And I was asked to speak. I have never spoken in front of a crowd, at least in recent times. I was very nervous about it. And I was asked to share something, anything. And this is something that through the pandemic had been happening for a few months now. I was out in the streets of New York doing deliveries on empty streets. There was no vaccine for COVID. And we had this moment where we all came out of our homes and became activists for economic justice, social justice, environmental justice, you name it. So I shared this speech, and this may be a little bit revised from how it originally was. I think I can't find the original document, but I know I rewrote it many times. So here we go. What this movement for Black Lives has done for me is it has allowed me to view issues that I previously categorized as broader institutional racism and revealed to me that the protection of the economic interest of the ruling class lays at the root of this race issues. This awakening in one way reveals the insidious nature behind this economic foe masquerading as race, but in another way makes it less abstract and less scary, knowing that the age-old adage that money is the root of all evil holds true. When I switch my lens view from race to economics, I see how, by dividing demographics along racial lines, we discourage a larger movement against economic reform. I see non-Black communities work against their own interests and instead acting as unwitting agents in the fight to protect the interest of the wealthy class, while Black and Brown communities are made as the scapegoat to discourage dissent. Somewhere, maybe from the very beginnings of this nation, the American dream took the form of aspiring for wealth instead of happiness. We normalized and justified stepping on your neighbor, communities of color when applied institutionally, in pursuit of this dream. In the end, as long as we continue to conflate money with happiness, the system will continue to enslave us all. When I launched Free Your Arms in 2015, I asked myself, what if I created a platform that followed my moral compass and recognized the dignity of every individual as an equal part of the solution? I wired equality into our business model and tried my best to remove greed as my motivation to achieve happiness. Despite the struggle, I can say that I have found happiness in the dignity of my work. I now ask myself, what would the world look like if we reimagined all of our relationships with money and happiness? And then I left with the prompt. The question was, what systematic mechanisms have you recognized as influential in your relationship with money and happiness? And I pose that question to you along with our prompt for the Value Exchange Project this Friday. So I'm going to end it there. Thank you again for joining me. If you want to join us this Friday, go to spreadlovefm.com. It's remote. Join us for a discussion. Join us on ways that we can fight against the greed, against the systematic narrative, systematic levers, the tools that are being used to keep us, the masses, 99% divided and flow that wealth into community. Because with that dollar, every dollar that goes to Wall Street is a vote for that oppressive system. You give up your power when you spend money on institutions that support division, that support greed. So thank you once again. My name is Trev. You can also call us at 347-354-5683 if you want to leave a comment about this show or any of the prompts that we have. And until next time, thank you for joining me here. I'll see you next time. Peace and blessings.